Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm so delighted that we're going to be talking about a subject today that is near and dear to the hearts of so many of us who are animal lovers. We're going to be talking with two women, Susan Mack and Natalia Krawitz. Their wonderful book is called My Teachers Wear Fur Coats. We're going to be talking about Reiki and how you can, with therapeutic touch, bring a benefit to the wellness of your animals, but also you can develop a communication capacity with your animals that I don't think many of us as individuals ever thought was possible. Susan and Natalia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
It is so delighted to have... I have to read this paragraph out of your book because it really grabbed me. And I... Susan and Natalia, I just think you've got a good sense of humor throughout this book, but your compassion for animals, the love of animals that both of you have, really comes across loudly and clearly. And in this paragraph, you said, Susan, in the course of your being an instructor, your patients, the animals, have run away from you, jumped with pleasure at your arrival, insisted on play sessions, bit and scratched your hands, purred deeply, shifted their bodies into position under your hands, filled the room with snores, swatted me when I put my hands where they didn't want them, and vomited, urinated, and defecated on me. They have made sure I pay close attention to get the messages they wish to intend to send. I just thought that was a hoot, because anybody that works with animals, if you're in animal rescue, if you are a veterinarian, all of those things apply. And I think when you love what you do, even pet groomers, when you love what you do, and you love these wonderful creatures, then you just have something very special in this life to give and to share. Susan and Natalia, I want you to answer questions for me. How did you develop this rapport? Susan, answer first. What was it that made you decide that animals were your life?
Well, all my life I've had a strong bond with animals. And even when I went into the cooking trade, I was always swinging back and forth between should I leave the cooking trade and get into animals. And after I went through the burnout and I got involved with Reiki then, I had taken the course just to treat myself.
Oh.
But what happened is everywhere I went, if there were pets around, they came up to me under my hands and started taking Reiki.
That is very interesting. So the animals themselves were drawn to you. Natalia, how did you get involved with this?
Oh, in a totally different way. I had a cat called Catherine Twinkletoes, and she developed strange melodies that the veterinarian thought were not amenable to conventional veterinary medicine. And so I decided that I would take some courses in alternative health care. And one of the ones that I took was Reiki.
Now, you have a doctorate in psychology, and you evolved through various career transitions to become a holistic health practitioner. You got involved with becoming a cat behavioralist and a wellness educator, and you also were initiated into Reiki. How did the two of you get together? Here you are, two women that have been on your own particular path and direction. How did you come together?
Well, someone had given Susan a gift certificate to attend a course that I was teaching on sort of a holistic approaches to pet care given by the local Humane Society. And I had known Susan by reputation but hadn't had the opportunity to meet her. And to me, the biggest sign that she was a real animal person was that the first thing that she did when she came into the room was to greet the cats that were there. And the next thing I knew, the most feisty, allergic to human cat that was ever in the history of that particular shelter was sitting very quietly and receiving Reiki from Susan.
Fascinating. So, Susan, you have had this wonderful, wonderful gift that you have developed, your empathy with animals. You chose to go through the courses, the two of you linked up together. Susan, you had a pet column that you wrote, and the two of you decided you were going to put this book together. This was quite a collaborative effort on both of your parts. How long did it take for you to get everything into place so you could bring this wonderful information to whoever would like to have it?
I think it took close to 2 years altogether. And actually, Natalia approached me because people have been telling me all along that I should be writing these stories into a book.
Mm-hmm.
And time is a real issue because I'm always busy doing Reiki. There's always someone who needs some help.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Natalia retired, she phoned me and she said, you know, we need to do this book.
All right. Now, for some of the listeners that may not be aware of this healing, this energy healing technique, please describe Reiki. Also describe the various levels that there are to Reiki, because obviously this is your work, this is your passion, but people can learn how to do this. Tell us what it is exactly.
Okay. Reiki is a Japanese folk art. It's a modality that comes from Japan. And basically, it's a form of hands-on healing where energy flows through the crown of your head and comes out through the palms of your hands and the soles of your feet. And anybody can learn this. You go through initiations, they're attunements, which are just a little ceremony that reopens that flow, because Reiki is the universal life energy that is found around and inside every living being. If you didn't have it, you wouldn't be alive.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese call it qi, the Japanese call it ki. And so the first level, it's the big thing to remember about Reiki is it's passive and it's simple, which is what throws a lot of people. But the first level is your hands-on. And it's like having a first aid kit. You just put your hands on another being or around a plant, and the Reiki flows. You're just giving access to the receiver, and the receiver does all the work with the Reiki. And no manipulation of tissue at all. The second level is, we call it distance Reiki, and Reiki, being an energy, travels through distance and time. And so I live in Alberta, but I have clients in California and New Zealand who I send Reiki to, and they receive it. And then your third level is your mastery level. And in the school, well, the way I teach, it's basically split into a third and a fourth level. The third level gives you the ability to work with a higher frequency of Reiki, and then the fourth level would be your teaching level, where you would go on to teach.
Now, obviously, this is a passion of your life.
Oh, yeah.
You absolutely love to do what you do, and I like your point about how you describe the pet has no opportunity for consent. And many times when people go to touch a pet, they feel like they are in a confrontational situation. So you have to deal with animals differently. And you deal with all kinds of animals.
Yes, I do.
You deal with snakes, hamsters, gophers, turtles, dogs, cats, monkeys. It wouldn't make any difference.
No.
Because they're all living beings, and this is something that can be worked on all of them. And you've even worked with a fish.
Yes.
So that's what a lot of these stories are in this book, My Teachers Wear Fur Coats. You've learned a lot with animals. Now, you make a mention in your book that there are not many Reiki teachers that can work with people, which makes you one of those exceptional individuals. That this is something I am finding, that with some of my clients are being drawn into the same area. When someone goes through this training, how would you recognize or how would you want them to be aware that they could utilize this with animals? What are some of the tips that you'd give to someone if they want to do energy healing with animals, the best way to start out with it?
The best way is they have to learn to really pay attention to the animal and to really just let the animal come to them. If you crowd them, then they're going to back off on you.
Mm-hmm.
And Reiki is really a modality of respect. That's one of the things I really like about it. So the most important thing is to let them come to you, let them smell you over, and just talk to them very softly. And the other thing is, if you're not willing to carry through, and by that I mean, say, if financial concerns come in or whatever, and you're involved with an animal where the Reiki really makes the difference for the quality of life, if you're not willing to carry through and help them regardless of the fact that the people have lost their jobs or whatever, then please don't get involved with them at all.
That's a very good point, because pets are family. And as you said, sometimes they may not be in a positioning after so many treatments, and they say, gee whiz, Susan, I just don't have the money to do this. But there's always a way of working something out with people.
Yeah, I have had happen what I call money falling from the sky, which is a couple of years after I finished working with a pet because they've either died or they didn't need the Reiki anymore, or their people have moved on. Checks will arrive in the mail, and
mm-hmm.
it will be, you know, thank you so much for what you did. Our circumstances have changed. Please apply this to help somebody else.
Let's talk about one of the animals you have in here, Maxine, a German Shepherd.
Oh, yes.
Now, tell us about Maxine. She had been, she was a graduate of a local animal shelter.
Yes.
And she really had a bad, rough time in her life. Tell us your experience with Maxine.
Well, Maxine had severe hip dysplasia and arthritis, and she couldn't tolerate the medications very well. She was also very nervous and skittish because she had gone through a lot of abuse. She was 7 years old, but she looked like she was 12. And when I met her, I approached her with caution because she was so nervous. And fortunately, her person stayed around for the session. And I just talked to her and Maxine really took to the Reiki, and she really worked hard with it. And her people were willing to make the commitment to the time as well so that she could have the sessions that she needed. Now, her quality of life improved so much that she started playing, and they they started to have a little bit of mixed feelings because they'd come home and she'd gotten into mischief and everything, which she never had the ability to do before. And emotionally, she started to just blossom. She started to smile. Her face began to look younger. And it was just incredible watching the transition that this dog was making from being so scared and full of pain to being self-confident and happy.
Natalia, you have been so involved with animal behavior through the years. What is so valuable in your professional positioning about Reiki? And what would you say to people that would want to investigate this and research it? Because Susan, this is her passion. What would you, as a cat behavioralist, say to someone that would want to explore this with their cat or with one of their animals?
Well, you know, a lot of problems. If we just focus on cats for a moment, although what I'm saying is applicable to certainly more than just cats, a lot of the problems that you come across in cat behavior, inappropriate urination, aggression, self-mutilation, are often anxiety-based with cats. Now, I mean, I certainly make a difference between those and those that are medically based, and usually by the time someone has seen me, they've already been to their veterinarian and had the testing to make sure that there isn't a medical source for the problem. But because Reiki has such a calming effect for the person who receives it,
mm-hmm.
and enables them to then sort of work with whatever is causing their anxiety and transform that into a more meditative or calm state, I have often recommended Reiki either as an adjunct to other behavioral measures or instead of other behavioral measures. And the perfect example I can think of a cat who's written up in our book is the cat Jeffrey, who was a self-mutilator. And by the time I saw Jeffrey, I mean, it was just really heartbreaking. There was a poor little guy. He had plucked himself bare. You know, his belly was bare, and he was absolutely miserable because he had been put on an antidepressant, which is a perfectly legitimate thing to do for these situations, but he had to wear a cone around his head in order to prevent himself from picking at his fur more and causing the skin to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was, by the time I think I got to him, he'd been wearing that cone for 6 months.
Oh, my goodness.
Which meant that he had problems eating his food because it's very difficult to access your food dish when you're wearing a cone. He couldn't drink water when he wanted to. He couldn't get the little breezes and the little microclimate changes that happen when you have full face exposure. So as a result, he couldn't get the necessary signals of when he could jump safely high up, and so he would often try and take a jump at something and fall down.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a miserable, poor little thing. I mean, my heart just went out to him. And we did a number of behavioral things, like get him a cat tree so he could be up high, because that is a very calming thing for a cat. We put the cat tree where he could watch birds, because that was something that was of interest to him. There were a number of measures that I instituted that were worthwhile for him. But my strongest recommendation was for him to have Reiki sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And Susan worked with him for quite some time, I think for almost a year. And it was wonderful because his person was so dedicated to allow this to happen. And it was wonderful also because he was able to go without wearing the cone for longer and longer periods of time. And then we were able to get him a special collar that he could wear that would still keep him from picking at his skin, but wouldn't have the full cone effect. And in the course of the year, he became far more emotionally resilient, far more happy in his circumstance, if you could tell it by his energy level and his interest in life, and he no longer picked at his skin.
This makes a very strong statement because you've covered a number of levels that I think are very common sense levels. But this enabled this animal to go through a process of healing. Now, I'd like to ask a question of both of you. I know you mentioned some veterinarians, that really support Reiki. How is this being introduced into a part of the veterinarian treatment and the education of being able to work with animals? Because one of the things that Reiki, I think, really does, and what I like, Susan, is that you do respect the animal space, and you're clairsentient, you're clairaudient, you use your intuitive abilities with this gift, which I think is wonderful, a wonderful application. But is this something that most veterinarians would even be interested in exploring as part of a therapy? I know, Natalia, you're very open to it, but in general, is this something that most vets would even look at?
No. And actually, when I started, they were extremely resistant to it. There were some who were polite when I went to talk to them, and some told me to get off their property. What has happened is, over the years, going in to work with the pets, and then their people would talk to their veterinarians, and the veterinarians started to see what was happening, and they also realized that I was sending pets in for treatment where the people hadn't realized that they needed to see a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And So I started to build up credibility with some of the veterinarians. And that was basically the start of it.
Well,
and
I think that is a wonderful procedure. It's interesting how a new modality can be so intimidating. And I don't fault them because there's a lot of woo-woo stuff out there.
Yes.
But fortunately, in our day, we are scientifically, we're talking about quantum physics, we're talking about multidimensional aspects, they're able to see energy now, where 20 years ago, they didn't have the technology for that. So there is this shift that is occurring, and that's why I wanted to pose the question. I wanted to find out how it was that you were able to get this complementary positioning with some of them, and the fact that it's a very good point. If you have this kind of a communication and a healing touch that is working with animals and you are educated, you and Natalia both can say, go in and get treatment. Go in and look for this. This is what they need. This is what they need to be checked for. These things are so very important, and it's win-win for everyone.
Yes, it is.
So I think it's great. Let's address a subject matter that most people, when they have pets, are going to be experiencing, and you call it witnessing the dance of death, lessons in letting go. I, myself, we've had Scottish Terriers, and when they pass away, it's always a significant event because they are family. And there are people that are listening. They have their own pets, whether it's a tarantula, a hamster, a dog, a cat. This is something that is a part of their life that usually is very, very significant. People develop bonds with animals, even fish. I've seen it so many times. Let's talk about this subject that most people shy away from because it's not in our society a subject that most people are comfortable in dealing with. How does Reiki work with the releasing of an animal so that they move on?
Well, because the Reiki heals on the emotional and the spiritual levels as well, it helps the pet come to a place of peace so they are not afraid. And, of course, as I'm working with the pets, the people are usually in the rooms, and they start to feel this as well. And, of course, it's very hard for them. And what I have experienced doing the final sessions with them when they're actually making their transition, if it's where they're going on their own or whether it's through the help of euthanasia, is there's this feeling of calmness, and then I feel them slip out through the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an absolute peace on the other side, providing this is a pet who's ready to go and isn't being prematurely euthanized.
Now, let's address something here, Susan and Natalia. I'd like to get your feedback on this. We all know of situations where animals are put down, and it's not their time to go. It's just what's done. You had a dog that you wrote about called Shiloh in
yes.
your book, and you used Reiki on yourself to heal. Tell us what you experienced and what happened there.
Well, I developed such a bond with Shiloh. Shiloh and I have been working together for a couple of years, and it was very intense because I was seeing Shiloh pretty much every day by the end. And we had developed quite a bond that Shiloh had never developed with her people. And Shiloh would crash and come back, and the person realized that Shiloh never came back for her, came back for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Shiloh had gone through a crash, and she came back, and she was doing really well. And I arrived there, and because they had told me that they were going to euthanize Shiloh, and I arrived there, and Shiloh was happy and doing really well. And I said, you know, are you sure about this? And I was basically told that that it didn't matter. They were just tired of this. And and Shiloh was going. And I was grief-stricken, and I was also really caught in a legal bind because Shiloh was reaching out to me wanting me to stop this from happening. And legally, I couldn't because they wouldn't sign Shiloh over. And afterwards, I was just heartbroken that someone could do this to such a wonderful being. And it was very, very difficult for me because I also went through a lot of anger. I was very angry with them. And Shiloh reached out to me through when I was sending Reiki to her soul and sent me a message that I needed to forgive them and also showed me the other pets that were in the house and that these pets still required Reiki. And if I couldn't get past what happened, they weren't going to be able to get the help that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a journey that Shiloh took me on of healing. And I don't know if I could have healed without the Reiki because I really had to do a lot of work on my own grief, on my anger,
mm-hmm.
On my own ability to judge others.
What a profound lesson that is. Natalia, for you, you also have worked so much with animals. This is a tool that you have used that's enabled you to make that a comfortable process for the owners as well. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I just sort of want to also follow up with what Susan said about judging. It is just so easy to judge someone else. And often you are put in situations when you are working with animals and their healing where you really need to sort of put your judgments aside. It's very hard to sort of put yourself in someone else's shoes and to understand sometimes what they're coming from or where they're coming from and why they are behaving the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when you can personally sense with the animal that the behavior is not in the best interest of the pet. And one of the things that Reiki does, I think, and I have personally experienced, is really open up your sense of compassion. Compassion not only to the animal, but to the human being who, for whatever reason, is also caught up in their own issues and sometimes perhaps can't see the situation in the way that you do.
Yes, I can have a great deal of compassion for that because it is. It's a very moving experience. Well, both of you ladies have a love of life. You have a respect for it. You both are engaged in a healing therapy called Reiki. You know about the different levels. You're teachers and educators on so many different modalities regarding this that I think it's marvelous. Your book is titled My Teachers Wear Fur Coats. Do you have a website that people can go to?
Unfortunately, we don't.
All right. Well, then they'll just have to get your book. Now, one of the things I want to mention is that you go into so much detail in your book. There is the information on flower essences, different things that people that you can use, how to look for a Reiki practitioner in your area. You have got reference material in the back. This is very well done. And for anyone that has a real love of animals, or if you would like to explore this, their book, My Teachers Wear Fur Coats, is a must-have for your library. It's the type of book, you pick it up once, you read it through, but you have to go through it more than once to educate yourself about this wonderful healing technique that you yourself can be educated on, and can, if you choose not to do it yourself, you'll know how to reach out for someone that can do it with your animals and also for you as an individual. Susan Mack and Natalia Kenwitz-Rukawitz, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you very much.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't forget, the book is My Teachers Wear Fur Coats, Susan Mack and Natalia Krawetz. That's spelled K-R-A-W-E-T-Z. We're coming back. We've got lots of good things to share. Don't you go anywhere now.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. These are the telephone numbers that you will call in to, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for everyone else, 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener to the Donna Sebo Show, I'm so delighted that you've been able to join us. All you need is to give me when you call in is your first name or your initial, and then let me do my thing. I'll be glad to give you insights, intuitive insights, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you would like. I wanted to mention that when I was in a grocery store over the weekend, I was amazed to see all kinds of signs regarding tomatoes and that there were none available in the grocery store. So I happened to talk to one of the employees and I said, "What's with this and the tomatoes?" Well, they said, "We can't give you any information on it. I really don't know. All I know is that there's some kind of a salmonella situation that's going on. And so consequently, we are not carrying it, and this store isn't carrying tomatoes, and that store isn't carrying tomatoes." And I thought, wow, that's really great. Well, I had an email from a gentleman sending me some information, and I thought I would share it with you. What this is, apparently, is a salmonella type of a poisoning that they are alerting people to. 145 people have been affected by it. So I thought I would share the information that has come out by the FDA. This is a particular type of salmonella. It's called Salmonella St. Paul. And again, there have been 145 reported cases nationwide, and about 23 people have been hospitalized. And those areas that these have occurred in are Arizona, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Kansas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Oregon, Texas, Utah, Virginia, Washington, and Wisconsin. Now, Salmonella St. Paul is a very uncommon type of salmonella. So this was something that was really out of the blue. Now, they are warning people about consumption of certain raw tomatoes. It's the raw red plum tomato, the red Roma tomato, and red round tomatoes, and products containing any of these raw red tomatoes. Now, they recommend right now that you don't, you know, don't eat these. So I'll give you some more information. We've got a caller, so I'm going to take this caller, and I'll share some more of this information with you, because I do think it is important we're educated. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
This is Jay from Central California.
Where in Central California?
Right on the coast near San Luis Obispo and Los Osos.
Oh, that's such a beautiful area. Okay, Jay, let's get down to business. The first thing I'm looking at is keep the pace. Keep the pace. So whatever you're doing, you have a particular agenda that you're wanting to follow through with. Just maintain your momentum. If you feel like you've got to slow down a little bit, fine, but don't stop. Just sort of like going up a mountain. Maybe you have to work a little bit harder. They go up and over, but when you get to the peak, you'll sort of slide. So it's going to be a little bit of up and down for you during the next 2 to 3 months. But if you will keep your basic momentum the way it should be, you are going to find yourself very pleased with your results. And there is opportunity that seemingly is just around the corner. And I'm perceiving, as you said, goodness gracious, I've heard that so many times, I get so tired of hearing it. Well, the key is being in a state and an attitude of preparation, understanding that you keep putting one foot in front of the other, have the expectation, but keep yourself in what I would say a very level arena of thought, and realize you just keep on doing what you're doing, just sort of like being on a diet. You just keep holding true to what you know you need to do for yourself, and then all of a sudden, you are at your goal. You're at your objective, and you go, wow, it wasn't as tough as I thought it was, but you have to keep your focus. You've got some relationships with people that are going to challenge you, because one of these relationships will be pushing your emotional buttons, and the tendency will be to get very angry with that association and wondering, gee, should I even bother in communicating? I want to say yes. It is still worth keeping the communication lines open. The test is for you. How are you going to get past having your buttons pushed by this individual? And I think one of the suggestions I'd like to make with you or to you is use questions. If someone is of a very critical dispositioning, listen. Don't close down inside. Just listen. And then throw the question out to them. How do you see that this can be remedied? And you'll find they're going to look at you. Their eyes are going to get a little bit big. And it's like, well, that's not up to me. That's up to you. And say, well, you've made some interesting statements. And you don't have to agree with this. But you can come back with, you've made some very interesting observations. I would really appreciate your perspective on how they could be resolved. And that'll put them in a catch-22. So if they have some suggestions, just be courteous, but listen, because you may find some little tidbit in there that you're going to be able to utilize, and that what they're observing, you can take and put to a different level and can work with it so that it is going to serve you better. But remember, critics abound. You're always going to have them. Don't be afraid of criticism, though. Be receptive in the sense of being a good listener, and you'll be able to turn things around. But don't be afraid to put them in a position of responsibility if they're claiming to be the authority as to what they would recommend for you. You may or may not get the response that you would expect, but you've got a lot on your plate, a lot going on. What's your question for me today?
Wow, okay. That's right on. Thank you for that. And I guess, you know, my question is, in terms of bringing a loving companion romantic interest in my life, what are the best things I can do for myself right now?
I think just being yourself. I don't think you really need to do anything extra than to just enjoy being the person you are, accepting yourself as you are, and accepting the fact that you are going to attract to you a woman who is not going to try to change you, make you over. There's a plethora of those out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that you don't attract companions to yourself. You just need to accept that you will attract that person that is going to best suit you as a companion so that you can enjoy each other and each of you be your own individual self. And that is a challenge. There's not been many individuals that you have come across that really are accepting of their own individuality. You often are the rescuer.
Yeah.
And that is something that you need to make okay that you don't need to do anymore.
Yeah, and I've been working hours and hours and hours of meditation, and I know I'm close to a breakthrough with that, but it's the same token, so okay. So that may be, or at least appearing to be fixed, that rescue thing, the rescue ranger. So then what's new? What's different? Where is someone that actually has so much going on in their life and so many talents that they're not going to need to be jealous or what have you of what I'm doing?
Oh, I don't think there will be a problem when you accept, when you just make, it's okay. I could be dating, you know, 5 people a week or whatever, and you be comfortable with that. Because the person that's going to be your companion, the person that I think is going to be your mate, is the individual that two of you will recognize each other and you'll be together because that is the right thing for each of you. And it's not going to be forced. It's not going to be coerced. There's not a manipulation dance that's going to be going on here. And all I would say is just be present with where you are. I don't think that this person is too far in locale away from where you are at this moment. That you still are going through some situations and changes, as is the other person. So you need to make it okay that the rhythm works so that when both of you are ready, you're going to be there. Don't try to control this or choreograph it.
Oh, I'm doing my best not to, but I know on the other hand that if I'm saying, okay, God, just bring her right to me, and God's like, well, you've got a little bit of work to do. You need to go out and date. Because, I mean, to be honest with you, I've never been out on the dating scene, so to speak. It seems so just primal in a way. You know, that's not what I'm after. I want love. And I want love. I don't want to go out and play games with people's emotions and feelings.
Well, you don't have to.
Okay.
You don't have to. See, you're stuck in what you feel is a social requirement. You're not stuck. You don't have to do that. Just be yourself. But my goodness, you're not going to meet anybody sitting in your living room, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, I know.
You need to go out and go involve yourself in whatever activities really mean a lot to you and just have joy about where you are and just say, I'm going to be attracting people, and maybe once in a while you'll find that you're going to get a sour lemon, but that's okay. You say, I don't like sour lemons. That's all right. You bless them and you move on. You know, with women, they're often told you're going to have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find your prince. Well, I don't want to say toads, but I mean, there may be a few of those that are going to cross your path, but that's okay. It's life.
Yeah.
You can't live in an ivory tower. It doesn't work.
I know.
And you need to have joy with this. I mean, if you're taking this so seriously, and again, you're trying to choreograph it, I'm telling you, you're going to get some real doozies until you learn to laugh at the whole thing and say, okay, this is it. You've got to have a good sense of humor and delight in the uniqueness of each person that you meet. You'll be able to write a book about it. It can be fun. It really can be. But I know men are not typically of that thinking process. And it's just an interesting thought patterning. You don't have to be like everybody else and take the same attitude of positioning. And you don't need to have a negative attitude about this. My goodness, if you went into another country and you wanted to visit, let's say, India, are you going to look at people on the street, make a judgment, turn around and get on the plane and go out without exploring?
No.
All right, then don't do that with women. Don't do that with women. Don't put up those barriers. Jay, thanks for your call. I've got to go on break.
Yeah, thank you so much, Donna.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a delight talking with you.
You too.
Don't worry. There's that delightful lady that's there for you. Just just keep taking care of business. You'll be fine.
Okay. Thank you.
You're
Have
welcome.
A great day.
This is Donna. We're going to take a break. Don't go away now. I'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a
Donna
difference.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. These are the telephone numbers, toll-free to call into, USA 877-876-5227, or Canadians 888-815-9756, also a direct line of 530-876-3222. Quickly, I want to finish giving you the information from the FDA regarding this information on tomatoes, because I know it's definitely affecting us up here in Washington, and the grocers just are not permitting a number of things coming in. Now, the FDA has published a list of states and countries where tomatoes are grown and harvested, which have not been associated with this outbreak. And that's very important. These have not been associated with the outbreak. Now, this updated list is Arkansas, California, Georgia, Hawaii, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Belgium, Canada, Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Israel, Netherlands, and Puerto Rico. Now, their challenge is, with this, that they haven't narrowed it down to where this is coming from. They realize that the source of the contaminated tomatoes may be limited to a single grower, a packer, or tomatoes that have come in from a specific geographic area. And there are many kinds of tomato crops across the country and in foreign countries that are going to be ready for harvest or will be ready in the coming months. So they want to ensure that we as consumers will be able to enjoy these wonderful, wonderful fruits. Tomatoes are fruits, by the way, that are safe to eat. So they are really working very hard with all the states involved with this, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Indian Health Service, and various food industry trade associations to try to determine as quickly as they can the source of the tomatoes that are associated with this outbreak. So this is really a lot of detective work, folks. And when you have the Center for Disease Control, they really move as quickly as they can on this. So it is a lot of detective work because people travel, they go different places. So anyway, that's what's going on. Don't worry, there are some things that are safe, and you can go to the FDA site, and you will be able to find out what you need to know about this. Further detail is available. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Jackie from California.
Hi, Jackie. We're in California.
Mariposa.
Mariposa. All right, Jackie, let's get down to business with you. You are going to need to stay focused. This is going to be very difficult for you because you've got so many distractions. I feel like I've got all of these different multicolored lights about me, and I'm going, gee, I've got to take care of this, and then another light goes on, and I'm turning from right to left, and I almost feel like my head, if it were on a rotating unit with my neck, I'd be just going in circles all the time, just anxious about keeping up with everything. I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to realize that you can focus on whatever you need to focus on, set your priorities, and you're going to get a lot more done. There is a real healing that's going on with you as an individual. I'm observing you, and I am seeing you like putting your hands together with your fingertips facing inside, and it's like at the breastbone area. Of course, this is symbolic. But it's like your hands are going inside of yourself, and you're splitting apart a piece of crust that has been around your chest, and you're just saying, I don't need this anymore. So something that wounded you emotionally, that you have had an insulation against, that you built up on your own, but an insulation where you say, I don't want to be hurt, I don't want to be vulnerable, you are breaking that apart. You are realizing that you have healed this scenario, whatever it has been, and you don't need the insulation, you don't need the crust around you. And so this is going to give you a great sense of freedom. You're so creative. I would hope that you, on one level or another, whether it's through the culinary aspect or through interior design, painting, gardening, I wouldn't care what application, but that you do something creatively, dear. This just brings you to life. It is magic when you're working with color, design, texture, plants, whatever, again, the application is. This is what enables you to center yourself very, very quickly. And you'll use this as a tool, especially when it comes to working with money. And you're going to find your concerns about money when you are able to utilize your creative self. When you get anxious or stressed and you shift into that level, then that allows you to have clarity. And then your intuitive side sort of feeds information into you and you figure out your answers. So utilizing your creativity is going to enhance your problem-solving capabilities. Some people like to take walks. Other people may stand in a closet and scream. You will do it through art. You'll do it through form, texture, again, whether it's a plant, painting a room, furniture, however you choose to do it, you know, a canvas. It doesn't make any difference. It works for you. Music is wonderful. So just know you are making dramatic changes and you are doing a good job. So maintain faith in yourself, dear. You're really okay. Do you have a question for me?
Well, first of all, you're absolutely so on target. It's mind-boggling.
Well, how is it mind-boggling?
Well, I've been in a process of rearranging like my entire physical surroundings because I'm like in the spring cleaning thing. So there's a million things that I've had to make decisions on. So that's probably where you're getting all that. And I am very creative. I dance and sing, and I love to do art and things like that. And I have just made a deep emotional, or not deep, a major breakthrough in a relationship that I was very feeling very suppressed by, and have come to peace with it. And so I'm ready to move on, and it feels like, gee, you hit everything that was going on with me.
Well, thank you.
That's
thank
great.
Thank you very much.
That's just great. I actually called because I'm trying to get my, though I have excellent health, I'm also trying to understand the role of enzymes. Are you familiar with enzymes and the
oh,
best
yes,
way?
Oh, yes, I am, hon. And I'm going to have to cut this a little bit short because we're almost out of time.
Yes.
But I would say when it comes to the enzymes, you really don't need a whole bunch because your body is pretty strong. But when you're testing enzymes, go to your health food store and just find out about something like papaya. The best way to do it is if you could, since you're in California, you have access to a lot of fruits.
okay.
that maybe other people don't have. But test yourself. Just see which one works best for you. Papaya is just, I think, one of the best things you could ever have.
Okay.
So just check that out.
All right. Thank you, Donna.
You are welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye,
bye-bye.
Jackie. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we're out of time, and it's just been a delight. I want to thank my guests. I want to thank you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the best things fathers can do. Yes, there is so much that they can do. And we're going to be talking with Will Glennon. He'll tell us what they are. So you don't want to miss this. It's just a special thing for dads. After all, Father's Day is coming up pretty soon. Let's do it. See you same place, same time, tomorrow, right here on BBS Radio. Talk with you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.